I'm going to invite Christy to come, and we got to know Christy and her family back when we moved to Nebraska, I guess about 14 and a half years ago, I think through Girls Ministry, and then also they were one of the first missionaries that we picked up, missionary families, and Jim's with the Lord now, but there's still a fire in Christy's heart and to do ministry, and still trying to just navigate all that, but I know you'll look forward to just hearing her share her heart, and one of the things that's dear to heart is prayer, so you're going to hear about that this morning. So, Christy, I'm going to turn it over to you.
So I'm sort of old school. I went to Africa when I was 21, didn't come home until I was 43, so I missed that computer stage, so I don't trust computers. So here's my computer. I'm afraid all my notes will disappear, and I love purple, so there you go. My daughter, who is actually, two of my daughters work at the People City Mission, and one gave me a note in my car to give them heaven. That is what Jim and I, that's our motto, is to whenever we get up to speak, is to give them heaven. And so that's our goal today. So I'm going to open my computer. Thanks for having me share today, and I'm not as funny as Pastor Andy, so be prepared, but Brent asked me, first of all, to share a brief update on what's happening with the Ministry of One Hope, which is God's Word, Every Child, and so Chris is going to show soon a slide. I'm just on an update, and I want to thank the church for their continued support when Jim passed away. Thank you, Pat. Thanks. When Jim passed away, the ministry that he started continues. Thank you. I came prepared. Actually, someone asked me if I was nervous today, and I said I wasn't until I had a dream that I had nowhere to put my papers, and they were falling all over. And Pastor Brent made me change multiple places where I was going to preach. And I just like, no. So I came prepared with my own stand, but thank you. So so the ministry that Jim and I worked in actually started way back in 1984 when Jim was called to preach to Africa and to places that were really hard to reach, people that had never heard. And I shared some of our vision at the women's tea recently. How many of you were there? Again, Linda, you did a great job having that all organized. It was beautiful. It was fun. And on that day, I just shared how God uses the ordinary to do the extraordinary. And Jim and I were just young, just getting started. But he was called in his freshman year of college to reach French-speaking Africa. And we confronted animistic cultures, voodoo, Al-Qaeda, really tough areas. But we focused on evangelism and church planting. And our first church plants was in 1985. That dates me. In a town called Sakasu. Isn't that a fun name to say? I lived in Sakasu. So we did that. But in 2005, my husband was appointed to the One Hope director so that he was in control of 15 countries at that time, still doing church planting and evangelism, but on a much larger scale. He would train and mentor people in every one of these countries to do the all the evangelization, the church plants, the children's clubs on his own or on their own. And before he was his passing, they launched the Lumiere project. So Lumiere in French means light. So the light project. And it's still going on. And this is an update that they just sent out. And we worked in that orange country areas. That is what they call the Sahel or the 1040 window. It's the most unreached areas in Africa. And so that was all my husband's area. And he really worked in some really tough places. And so the local church, One Hope, is a multicultural or multi-year, multi-denominational outreach. And they're focusing on 11 countries right now in French Africa. And their goal is for 7 million children and youth this year to receive the Bible and to see the movie God-Man, which was produced for One Hope. It's a very nice animated story of Christ. And then they take the 17 stories, and with that they have children's clubs, and with that births a church. And so in these 11 countries, since they started, they have planted 1,851 churches. Yeah, cool. 91 languages are represented, 96 denominations. So we will work with any church that is a Bible-believing, completely 100% Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So we'll work with the different denominations within the country. And three out of four of these, then, churches that are planted, or three of four, they have that children's club, that children's program. And so the ministry was focused on children. And 85% of the churches are being built in this 1040 window, where it is, you have a lot of spiritual warfare going on there. But last weekend in Ivory Coast, they sort of Skyped me and showed me a bunch of stuff. They were celebrating a One Hope for 3 days. They bring in everybody, all the pastors, all the churches, and they say, this is what we have to do. This is how we're going to do it. And so they do that for 3 days, and they reported so far in Ivory Coast alone, 180 churches have been planted, and that's where we started way back in 1985. So the Lord is doing some great things in Africa and still continuing to do that today. And so let's just stop and pray. Let's praise the Lord for what he's doing in Africa, for the Lumiere Project, for all of the people that are my husband trained and mentored. The guy that took his position was just always under my husband's wing. And so God was already preparing that man to replace him. And so, Lord, we just want to thank you this morning for what you're doing in French Africa. Father, for the 1,800 churches, we pray for them today, Lord. Our prayers go across the ocean, across the miles. We pray that you would continue to do great things in this area. And Father, I pray that you would also do that in America. I pray that you would bring a revival to our own country, where churches are being planted and filled with people that have hearts and hearts just to be passionately in love with you. And so, Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for being here with us and for preparing our hearts also for the word today. So Jim's new position in 2005 made him travel a lot. He traveled. So as a family, we transitioned to the States. And just for our own safety, we had, in our last 4 years there, we had 12 attempted robberies. And so for Kaylee and I to be there by ourselves while he was traveling all around, we then transitioned to the States. But for me, no matter where I was, if I was in Africa or if I'm here, my passion has always been the same: to have prayer, to have Pentecost, to have the presence of God and the power of God as a focus. That is our focus, to have prayer, Pentecost, the presence of God, and the power of God. Today I'll be focusing on prayer, but just briefly touching on Pentecost. Everyone being empowered by God to live a victorious life and share God with others, equipping every believer for that spiritual warfare. As we read earlier, we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities, against the evil one in this world. And so in Africa, this spiritual warfare is so visible. You had people that were dedicated to the devil when they were little. They knew, they grew up doing that, and that was their focus. And yet in America, we have that spiritual warfare, but it's subtle. It's really subtle, but there is still that spiritual warfare where we each have to be empowered by God and his spirit. So the Pentecost. So the presence of God, I love this, and wanting every generation to experience, to taste, and see for themselves that God is good. As we were singing even this morning, just sensing his presence, experiencing him. And all those that are going to youth camp, youth convention, I was saved at youth camp at sixth grade. I was filled with the Holy Spirit and the fullness at camp. We don't talk about much of being slain in the spirit. I think I've talked to Mary Boyer once about that. And at camp, just the Lord's presence is falling on us, that you're so full of his spirit that you just are slain or overflowing with joy. I remember just laughing in the presence of the Lord, just laughing and just being so full of that joy. And so that, to me, I want everybody to experience that. I don't want anybody not to experience that, because when you taste and you see that God is good, you can't deny he exists. No matter what this world tells us, when I have tasted for myself that God is good, you have that to stand on, that he is there. So the presence of God. And so if you're doing the prayer and you're having Pentecost and you're spending time in his presence, then you have the power of God. And so that has been my passion. And today, as Pastor Brent said, I want to focus on prayer. And prayer is critical for the world today, for America. As missionaries, we would be gone for 4 years, and then we would come home for a year to itinerate. And God was moving in Africa. There was healing. There were power encounters. There was a girl's arm that had been caught in a grinder that the Lord completely healed. There was a lifeless baby that was ready to die that we laid hands upon them, and that baby was just totally normal, totally healed. And evangelism, we'd have evangelisms, and there was a big, huge storm coming, and they said, oh, you won't be able to have the outreach tonight. And we would pray, and the Lord, all around the evangelization, it was raining, pouring. But where we were at, it was dry until after the service. And so just to see the power of God, but it comes through prayer. And yet in America, when I would come home, every time I returned, my heart would break for America, for the decay that I would see in our culture, for the moral values, the lack of emphasis on the Holy Spirit, lukewarmness in our churches. Oh, we have so much. We're so comfortable. We don't need God. We even question the authority of scriptures now some days. Oh, yeah, the Bible. It's a good book, but, you know, it's not God's word. It's not the authority. And when we are in a situation, you don't see it happening all the time. Have you ever played with frogs? I did, as a little girl. I would catch these frogs, and I'd put them in, giving them a bath. And as I turned up the water, they died, or the heat in the water. And so sometimes when you're placed in a position and the water is being turned up, the pressure is being turned up, but it's so gradual you don't feel it until you can't get out of it. And about that time, you know, in America, we see that worldly, that subtle influence, television shows today, commercials today, ungodly activities. Pornography is at its worst in America. Violence, phone addictions, where they're saying anxiety and depression is so prevalent. We have divisions. We have hate crimes. Turn on the news and you just want to shut it right off because of just all the things that are going on in our culture. So in that, you know, our culture has changed so much, sadly to say, where we're saying how flipping values, claiming evil is good and good is evil, not heeding the warnings of the Word of God. And about 11 years ago, we had just come home. Kaylee was 7, and she's now 18. Can you believe that? She was 7, and at that time, the Assemblies of God brought out some promo, and it was two little kids and a horizon, and it's their backs with two long braids just like hers, and there was a fork in the road and two paths. And the Lord said to me, people like Kaylee, that if they don't take the right path now, in 10 years, it's going to have a devastating effect. And you know, as you go farther and farther and farther down the wrong path, it's harder to get back to the right one. There's such a gulf and such a distance. It's not impossible, but it's harder. And when you're down the wrong path, there's so many more scars when you come to the right path. And so Jim and I would have a saying that sin is complicated. You can, yes, God loves you and he sees you going down the wrong path, but there's complications, there's consequences to sin. So during a night of prayer, when the Lord was just impressing upon me just to return to prayer. And so we had more prayer for the district. I was on the district prayer team and women's retreats and workshops and just encouraging every church to add some kind of a new prayer venue for each church. And revival is birthed in prayer. To be intentional when it comes to prayer, we as a church need to return to God with all our hearts, our minds, our souls. Stop following the world's culture and its agenda and return to the word and the truth that never changes. Just because a culture says something is right doesn't make it right. We follow the word and not the world. So an example of this, we lived in countries where it was totally fine to beat your wife. It was culturally acceptable. And so I told my kids, we never follow the culture. We follow the word of God. So your dad will never beat me. He won't do that just because we're living in a culture where that's acceptable. Or in the cultures that we were at, you could have more than one wife. You could have two, three in the village. And so just because it was culturally acceptable, that didn't mean that Jim was going to go out and get a second and third wife. So we do not follow the culture. We follow the word of God. In America, it's totally contrary. You know, we have, hey, live together before you get married. You got to try it out. Hey, there's even the hookup app. You know, just flip your phone and, you know, and shows are constantly showing total sexual immorality of all kinds. And we just watch it and, oh, well, that's, you know, it's natural. It's okay. It isn't. And so how do we change our culture, the going down the wrong path? And that is prayer. And how do we heed that warning is to stand firm. And so today we're going to touch on prayer, P-R-A-Y. This is where your notes are going to come in. And 2 Chronicles 7:14. And we're going to break that down here. And so it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So it's if my people who are called by my name is the next slide. And it's Christians. God is talking to Christians here. Professed converts. So it says, if such a small word, but has big consequences. So, turn away from their wicked ways. Okay, with humble themselves and pray, seek God's face, turn from their wicked ways. Next slide. So our church's mission statement is life-changing relationship with Christ. There is a change that takes place in us, and then I will hear from heaven. Under these conditions, I will forgive, and I will heal their land. And so what do we have to do? We have to come humbly. We have to pray. We have to seek God's face. And we have to turn from our wicked ways. Then what will God do? He will hear. And he will heal our land. So true prayer, P-R-A-Y, on the bulletin, is true prayer brings you to a place where your heart is ready for Pentecost. True prayer brings you into the presence of God. True prayer will with Pentecost. And the presence of God lets you see and experience the power of God. So P is praise. Why praise? Why do we start with praise? It exalts God. It says, in a loud voice they were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and on the sea, and all that is with them, saying, to him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb be praise, honor, and glory, and power forever and ever. And the four creatures, this is in Revelation, say, amen. And the elders fall down and worship. And so praise exalts God, but it also changes us. When we're praising God, it changes us. It defeats the devil. Satan hates worship. So in Africa, people were dedicated to the devil. They grew up doing sacrifices, and some of them would come in the church and try to experience God. When we were in worship, that is when so many people would just have what we, you know, just to... They would react to that. They would fight. That the demon, the evil in them would fight against the worship of God, our manifestation. And I know, America, we don't believe in as much spiritual warfare, but we would see that in the time of praise. Satan hates it when we praise the Lord. So it defeats Satan, and it builds our faith. What are some ways that we can praise? The attributes of God, God's character, names of God, remembering what God has already done. So who is God? He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the creator, no matter what the world says, of all things. He is the giver and sustainer of life. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is the Prince of peace. He is our Savior, He is our Redeemer, and He is our friend. He is the High Priest, He is the Messiah, He is Emmanuel, which means God with us. He is the bright and morning star, He is the I Am that I Am. He is the Son of God, He is the Word of God, He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He is the truth, He is the light, He is the way. He is the bread of life, He is the rock, He is the cornerstone, He is a refuge in time of trouble, He is a good shepherd, He is a counselor, a deliverer, a healer, and a provider. Who is God? That is what we do when we focus Him. Who is God? He is supreme, highest in rank. He is sovereign, holding all position of rulership. He is omnipotent, meaning all powerful, omniscient, having keen knowledge. He is omnipresent. He's here right now. He is in this room. He does not change. He is faithful, He is constant, He is loyal, He is reliable and steadfast. He is holy, He is pure, without sin, guilt. He is wise, He is eternal, He is the Creator, and He is good. He is virtuous, upright. And so what He can do and who He is praise. We come into prayer time focusing on Him and who He is and what He's done. Wendy and I walk. She makes me walk. No, I agree to walk with her. But we play this game back and forth. We just keep walking, and you just have to tell me of a miracle, something God has done. And so right now, I want everybody to think of a miracle in the Bible that you've read, and just begin to tell them to me. What is a miracle that you know of in the Word?
Part of the sea.
Yep. David and Goliath. David and Goliath. Yep. What was?
Water to wine.
Actually, Madeline told me that one this morning. I was asking, okay, Madeline, what are some miracles? She came up with that one. So He parted the Red Sea. He brought water from a rock. He fed the children in the wilderness. And the one that gets me is on the sixth day, you could gather for 2 days. But if you gathered for 2 days any other day, it would spoil. I mean, just all the miracles in the Bible. He made a donkey talk, right? He provided taxes from the fish's mouth. You know, a burning bush, but it was never consumed. He healed the blind and the deaf and the little girl that was sick. And all the mourners were already there, and He just came, and she was alive. So we focus on who He is and what He has done. And you know what? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do we focus? Do we know that? Do we realize who God is and who we are serving, who we are worshiping? So when we come to P, we enter in praise. We start with praise. And when we know who God is and what he can do, when we have tasted and seen that he is really good and that he is a good, it is natural then to move into repentance. That's number two. So the first one is praise. Know who God is and what he can do. And then repentance. Pastor Andy spoke on the transfiguration last week and how Jesus was transfigured with who? Who were the two people? Moses and Elijah. And they fell down and worshiped in that holiness of knowing who God is. So repentance. Why repentance? Repentance keeps the lines of communication open so that God can actually hear our prayers. Repentance brings about healing of relationships, cleansing, a renewing, and a deliverance from the source of sin. When we are repenting of something and we're asking God to forgive us, he delivers us from that source of sin. So we can come to God with boldness and with confidence. Earlier I said God is holy. He's spiritually perfect and pure, sinless, deserving awe, reverence, and adoration. He is not just a genie in a bottle. He is not just a pal or a friend. And so many times, just like Peter, James, and John, they heard the voice of God, and what did they do? They fell face down to the ground. So we repent. That means turning completely in the other direction and changing. And so because you love God so much, you desire to change. So an example of that in the Bible is Joseph. He was put in a prison. He had all of these things. But what did he say when he was tempted to sin? How can I sin against my God? How can I even do that? That's not even natural for me. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to respect him and follow him. Isaiah in the Old Testament, he was before the Lord and he said, Lord, take the coals off the altar and cleanse my lips. I am unclean in your sight. So repentance brings us into God's presence. But when we're in that presence and we know who he is, he reveals to us our sin. And a couple weeks ago, Pastor Brent had me read a portion of the Bible, and it was in First Corinthians chapter 3, and it says, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, he's talking to the Corinthians church, but as people who are still worldly. And I thought, so I usually read it several times because I'm afraid to read scripture in public. I'm afraid to read in public. It was something that's been since second grade, so I have to practice. But then when I do that, that word just gets in. So I looked it up, and the commentary said one of the Corinthians church's major problem was its attempt to experience God's blessing while refusing to separate itself from the world's evil. So here you had a church, and he's rebuking them, and he said, I wish I could call you spiritual, but you're still worldly. You're still children. You still have these things that you're not dealing with. And the leaders were allowing professed converts, so they prayed that prayer of faith, to come into the congregation without forsaking the sinful activities. And so we do that in America. We normalize a lot of times our sin. We hide it. We justify it. But what does the word say about sin in our lives? And so we're going to just go through some scripture. Isaiah says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sin has hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. Proverbs 28, if anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers are detestable. I don't want my prayers detestable before the Lord. Proverbs 28 goes, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Psalm 66, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. And in Mark 11, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. in Psalms 51 of David, after he had been caught trying to hide his sin with Bathsheba, and a prophet had to come to him and say, okay, this one little lamb that you took with all these little, you know, lambs that you have, it's you. And then what does David do? He says, have mercy on me, God. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away my iniquities, and cleanse me from my sin. Against you and you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. On this one, I'm not reading the whole Psalms 51, but some of it. And cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And so what is repentance? It's coming to him broken, like David did, and asking God to forgive us. And you know what? God loves us. Andy sort of mentioned it earlier. God wants to forgive us. He really does. He provided forgiveness on the cross. If he didn't love us, he wouldn't have sent Jesus to the cross. Jesus would have died needlessly. But we can't hide our sin. God, who sees all, knows everything. He wants freedom for us. He wants freedom for our addictions. He is able to reach down in our pits and pull us out. Satan wants us to stay in that pit, you know, where we're all in the dark, you know, can't get out. But Jesus saying, hey, I'm here. I want to pull you out. I don't want you staying there. I don't want you remaining there. I want to forgive you. I want you to be cleansed. And I think Pastor Brent used it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I find myself praying, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts, even the things that I think about. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So we have praise, number one. So we have who God is and what he can do. We have P, repent, having a life-changing relationship with Christ, turning away from our sins. So when you have those two, then we come to ask. And this is the good part. I love this. We can ask, we can seek, we can knock boldly and with confidence. This is the great part, because when we know who God is and all of the miracles that he does and can do, and when we are truly pure before him and forgiven, we can then ask. We can ask boldly, and we can ask confidently that God is powerful and he can do great and mighty things. So if God is for me, who can be against me? Claiming the scriptures that are in the word, that God is able to do above and beyond what we can think or imagine. Right now, I want you to think of one prayer, one, maybe it's so big that you think, oh God, that could never happen. Think of it. Even if you want to write it down, what is that one thing that you want to stand before God and you want to say, God, I know who you are. I know what you can do. And I am pure before you. I am your child. And now I'm coming before you boldly and confidently. How about salvation for fill in the blank? How about revival in America? How about a whole city like Nineveh repenting? I can see that even in Crete when I come out here and pray. I just, you know, over the schools, revival in the high school, there are so many Christians in this community that God can take that and fan it, as we talked about last week, into a flame. How about healing for our land and our culture? How about healing for the sick? I know several people that just really need a healing touch from the Lord. Provision for your family. I do that all the time. With Jim gone and my salary probably cut to a fourth of what he would make, I have prayed, God, you know me. You know our needs. And God has miraculously provided me a car, has provided tuition for Kaylee's school free for 3 years. Miraculous things God can provide for your family. Or how about Right now, French Africa is believing for 3,000 churches. They're at 1,800, but they're believing for 3,000. So what is that? What is that one thing, or what do you want to ask God confidently and boldly for? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is unchanging. He is able to do above and beyond what we can think or imagine. And you know what? In our prayers, we're not going to back down. How many of us like, oh, well, you know, our culture is really bad, or, oh, yeah, you know, this and that, oh, yeah. But let's not back down. Let's stand up boldly and say, Lord, I'm going to believe for some great and mighty things. So here are some quick things that you can do to add prayer intentionally into your life and asking boldly. When we drive, I'll make the kids do a mile marker. Okay, we got to pray for this for the next mile marker. Or when you're going past the school, pray for that school. Having a Moms in Touch prayer group, Moms in Prayer, praying scriptures over your school. When I drive past the Capitol, I pray for the Capitol and everybody that meets there. So we can keep asking, we can keep seeking, and we can keep knocking. And when we've done that, when we have praised and we have repented and we have asked, then we come to why, and that is yield. So we need to yield to the Lord. And you could put that one up, Chris. Like Jesus in the garden, he wrestled with God, if there is any other way, yet not my will, but your will be done. Psalms 23, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know what God always answers? Every prayer. He will say yes, he will say no, or he'll say wait. And this can be hard. It really can. And we always know that God sees the big picture. And I'm preaching to myself that God is a good God, that he has everything in control. And that never was so hard and tested in me. It was when my husband did have his heart attack. We got him to the hospital. He was in surgery. I was literally in the waiting room, and off the waiting room, there was this room. And I could take you right to it. I am literally on my face. I am crying. I knew God could heal him. We had hundreds of people praying for him around the world. All his team, it just went off, and everybody was praying. And surely, I thought, all the good that Jim is doing with the Lumiere Project in full swing, surely he would heal him and raise him from the dead like Lazarus. I really believe that. And all night, in the waiting room, I just rocked, and I prayed, and I pleaded, God, just please, heal him. I know you can do it. And I believed that to the very final breath. And so I wrestled with God. Can there be another way? But like God sees the big picture, and Jim's death is having a purpose. Even in Africa, people are motivated more than ever before to continue the work that he started, that he didn't die needlessly either. And they are just going full force. And so I know where Jim is now. And a lot of times when I'm worshiping, we always say, what are people doing? We know that people in heaven are worshiping around the throne. And I know that when I worship here, he worships there with me. And many times, but he lived a life of prayer. He praised a heavenly Father. He had a pure heart before him. I could trust him no matter what. He would ask, even when he told his boss we're doing 3,000 churches, he said, really? No, we are. We are going to do 3,000 churches. And so we praise the Lord. We repent. We're pure before him. We ask boldly, but we also yield to a God that is sovereign. And we say, Lord, I place everything in your hands. You are in charge, and I trust in you. Before we close, we're going to watch a video, and I'll have the worship people and the people that are helping out with prayer come forward. And this, you know, I was wrestling with should I share this? This is such a passion on my heart. And I was thinking, God, is this from you or is this me? And I got in my car to go to work, and I turned on the radio, and this song came on, When We Pray. And I said, okay, God, that is your confirmation that I will share on this. Sometimes it ruffles a few feathers, but let's watch this, and then we'll just come back in prayer. When we start to pray, the walls start to shake. And so we have P, praise, R, repent, A, ask, and Y, yield. And this can be done in your daily devotions, in a group of two or three, or I've been in a place where there's been hundreds, and we've followed this format, and it's so powerful. And we can taste and see that God is good. We can know that he is good. And today you might say, praise. I don't know who God is. I don't even know who he is or what he has done. What is repent? I've never even heard of repentance. And that's just a salvation message. For God's God of the world, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And when we come to know who he is in praise, and we come to him with a heart that is just repentant of what we've done, that prayer of salvation is so easy. Just saying, God, I need you. And if there's someone here today that, hey, I don't even know God, I've never heard about him, I've never come to that place of repentance, I'm still hiding a lot of things, I'm still so far away from God, and you say, today, I want to surrender that. I want God in my life. I just want to just pray a quick prayer just for us all here. Lord Jesus, we just want to stop and we want to praise you for who you are. And Lord, we come to a time of just repentance. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us. We pray that the blood of Christ would wash away our sins, that it would save us, Lord God, and deliver us, and help us, O Lord God. We thank you that salvation is found in you today, Jesus, and you alone, that you are the light, the truth, and the way. And we surrender to you today, in Jesus' name. So in closing, as the worship team is going to play, maybe you need to focus on one of those issues, praise. I don't know who God is. Or God, I want to taste you and see you more today, that you are good. Somebody might hear has something that you need to repent of. You know, there's nothing that we can hide from the Lord. I was talking to Madeline, my little granddaughter, and just putting it into her focus. Like, you know, we can't go to a store and take something that's not ours. God does see that. And so we need to come to him for repentance. And the altars are open for that in prayer. Maybe you don't know how to ask boldly, and you need more courage, more faith. Or maybe there's something in your life you just need to yield to the Lord. And so we're going to just sing this prayer. I was actually changed the song to this one as we were singing it earlier. I just wanted to close with that today. And the altars are open, and the people that are going to help with prayer can come forward. And we're just going to close this and have the Lord just shine his light on you. Lord, if there's anything in me, do I need to praise you more? Do I need to repent? Do I need boldness for asking? Or do I need to yield something to the Lord?
This is air I breathe.
Lord, we need you in our lives. We need you to rekindle prayer in our lives, that praise, that repentance, that asking, and that yielding before you. Lord, I pray that you would be with each and every one of us, Lord, and that you would fan into flame that desire to have you in our lives, Lord, that you would be the air that we breathe. And Father, we just come to you and we just thank you for your promises, for the cross, for all that you do for us, and that all that you can do through us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. That's a good word, folks. There's a lot that, just a lot of good things there. Amen. We do support the Lemire Project, so when you give on a regular basis, monthly, we support 6 missionaries that are back there, plus we support missions here in Nebraska, so that's 7 different organizations that we support, and so the Lemire Project is part of that. So if you want to give above and beyond this morning, God's placed upon that heart, we can even send in a special offering just for One Hope today. So if God placed that upon your heart, just let me know. Amen. Father, this morning, just go with us. Lord, make us a people of prayer. Lord God, may we not just seek you when things are bad or when things are desperate. But Lord God, give us the realization and the need of just where we are at, where our culture's at, but also where we are at, how much we really need you, Lord God. The daily we come before you and seek out your face. That we walk with you, Lord God. That we don't depend upon our human understanding. We don't depend upon our own human ability and wisdom, Lord. Those are gifts from you, Lord God. But Lord God, you want to be our daily bread. You want us to have fellowship with you daily, Lord God. If Jesus, the Son of God, had to daily get away with the Father and pray, how much more are we in that place where we need you, Lord God? So, Lord God, in our own prayer closet, may we seek the face of God for our own life, for our families, for our marriages, for our culture, Lord God. Because it's on our knees that we find the battles fought and the battles won. And, Lord God, we give you the thanks and the praise. We ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,